I'd like for you, if you would, for just a minute, send maybe just a couple verses of 196. Thank you. So your prayers this evening. I have a little thought on my heart that I'd like to share with you. I think sometimes the enemy would like to intimidate us, and especially when we see times where seem like sin is abounding and seems like things are happening all around, and the devil would try to make us think sometimes that he can just wool over us and he can just have his way, whatever he wants to do. But I'd like to encourage our hearts this evening that we have a helper, we have a protection from all the wiles of the enemy, from everything that the enemy sends our way. And before I got down, the Lord gave me several messages on Job, and I realized after I got down that the Lord was preparing me for what was ahead, and I appreciate that. And I have another thought this evening concerning Job that I'd like to share with you, and I can tell you this evening that I have a greater confidence tonight than I ever have had, that the Lord has this kind of a place for you and I. I'd like for you to turn with me, if you will, to the book of Job, first chapter. Very familiar passages of Scripture here. In Job, the first chapter, and I'll start reading maybe here in the sixth verse. Job 1 and 6, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." This is a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I'd like to draw our attentions this evening to this first part of this 10th verse. Satan was speaking here, and he said, "Hast thou not made an hedge about him, and about all that he hath, and about his house and about all that he hath on every side?" I don't typically take any comfort or encouragement from anything that the enemy has to say. It's usually always bad. It's usually always designed for our hurt and our discouragement. But dear ones, this statement by the enemy gives me great comfort and encouragement this evening. When you look at this, he's acknowledging here that God had put a hedge about one of his children and about all that he had on every side, and that Satan couldn't touch him. Now that gives me great comfort and encouragement. Because when I look at this, I find that God is, he's very protective of his children. Now, my drawing hasn't gotten any better. But what I did is just a crude illustration. I've drawn a little stick man and two little children, what looks like a house, or maybe to me anyway it does, and a little dog. And you notice it's got a hedge that's all the way around all of it. Well, essentially, that's exactly what the enemy was saying that God had done. God had taken and put a hedge completely around about Job and all that he had. Not just Job, but all that he had. He had put this hedge around him. And dear ones, when I look at this, it reminds me of this song, number 196, that we just sang. And when you look at this, it says, "How safe is the soul that abides in the Lord, securely from sin hid away. His anchor, the promise of God's written word, to keep him by night and by day." There's never a moment that it doesn't keep us. It's all the time. And when you sang this song, did you notice that after this first verse, there wasn't a question mark behind it? That's because it was not intended to be a question, but a statement of fact. He wasn't saying, "How safe is the soul?" But he was saying, "How safe is the soul that abides in the Lord?" It's a positive statement. And it's something that brings great comfort and encouragement to us, but to know that God has given us. The writer here was speaking of a place, a condition, an experience that I'd like to speak to us about this evening. Dear ones, God has designed a place for his children that you and I can dwell in safety. We don't have to be fearful of all the things that the enemy presents to you and I. And I can tell you, he can present a lot of things. It doesn't matter where you're at or what the situation, the devil has a way of bringing lots of things to present to you and I. And we don't have to fear those things. There is a place that God has designed for us as his children to dwell in safety. It says here, if you go on, he says, "How safe is the soul that abides in the Lord, securely from sin hid away." Now, I want to ask you a question this evening. When you look around the neighborhood where you live, when you look around in our state here, our nation, or even the world in general, what is it that is causing all of the heartache and the care and the trouble that there is in our world? Now, we could sit here and we could go through all these different things and name off so many different things. But really, when you put it all together and you bring it down, you can sum it up with one three-letter word, can't you? And that's sin. Sin is taking a terrible toll upon our nation and upon our world. The wages of sin are very high, and we're paying dearly as a nation because of sin. When you look at the effect and the cost that sin is causing our nation, if you could just take and put a value to all the things that sin has caused, it'd be tremendous. It'd be far greater than the debt of this whole world, wouldn't it? It's because of sin. Sin is the cause of all the heartache and the trouble that there is in our world. There's not one heartache or trouble that is not caused by sin. God doesn't cause any of that. It's all because of sin. When you think about sin and how it's impacting people all around us, every one of our lives, there are people that are being touched by sin. A couple years ago, We rented the little house that we've got there in Sepulpa to a young couple. And they came and they rented the place. They were expecting a child in just a couple of months. And when we sat down and talked to him, the young man, he was talking to me and you could tell that he especially was very excited about being a father. And he was talking to me and he was telling me about different things. And he said, we just want to, he said, it's, you know, we're young and all, but he said, we want to settle down. we're going to have a child now. We want to settle down and we want to have a family. And he just had these dreams, and he was telling me different things. He was telling me about his job and how he had such a good job and he was so thankful for it. And they looked through the house and they were so thankful for it. And he was just talking about they'd lived in an apartment and there'd been some problems, and he didn't want his child to grow up in that kind of environment. And so he just didn't feel safe there. And so he said, this is just what we want. And he was asking, he said, well, maybe do you think you'd ever sell it? He said, we just want to, his goal was to live there, just make that their home. Well, we were happy for that. And they seemed like a nice couple. The girl was pretty quiet, seemed timid, but the young man, you could tell he was just excited. And it just looked like they had everything going for them. It just looked like the future was ahead of them, and it looked bright. Well, we had been traveling quite a bit that summer, and we came home one weekend not long before Monarch, and we were getting ready to go, and we knew it was time for them. They should have had their child, and so we felt like we needed to go down there, and we called him up at work, and we made arrangements to go down there. They'd had the child a few days before that, and we went down there, and when we got to the house, Karen and I were surprised, and we may have told you this before, but we were surprised that the mother wasn't there. And we thought, well, she's probably in the back bedroom. But anyway, we got to talk and found out, no, she wasn't. And he said, well, her mother had gotten real sick. She'd just gotten a call that afternoon, and her mother had gotten real sick. Her sister called her and said, you've got to come. She lived in Florida, and I don't know if you'll make it. And Karen and I were just like, this child was just days old, and we just couldn't hardly believe this mother was gone. And he said, well, we couldn't afford a plane ticket, and so we had to put her on the bus, and I didn't feel comfortable with the child going with her mother. And I thought, no, I wouldn't either on a bus trip that far. And we felt bad. We thought, well, we could have helped him. Or just, you know, you just feel so sorry for him. And anyway, this young man, he'd gone out and bought a bottle and some formula, and he was trying to figure out how to fix it all. First child, never knew, didn't know anything. We were like, how are you going to make it? He said, well, my aunt's coming, and she's going to stay with me for a few days and help. We tried to offer, and no, he thought they'd be fine. And so we left. We went on to Monarch, and when we got home, there was a letter in the mail. And the young man was telling us, he said, they'd only been there now for a couple months. And he said, we're going to have to break our lease. I'm sorry, but we're going to have to move. And I looked at that, and started looking down through the letter, and he started explaining. He said, well, the mother of this child is in jail. She's charged with a felony and for theft and forgery. And it was more than I could understand, hardly. It just seemed like so much. They just had such a bright future ahead of them. And yet here, their life had come crashing in. And he went on to say, and he told us what had happened. She had taken and had been stealing checks and writing and forging other people's name. And she'd went across to the neighbor there. And after the child was born, she'd take it across in its carrier. She'd just gotten home. When we went, it was only a few days old, so she had to do it almost as soon as she got home. She took it over to the neighbor's house, and she set the little carrier on the table. Well, she knocked on her door, and the lady, she's that type. She just welcomes everybody. She came into her house, and she set it on the table. And when she set the carrier on the table, the lady I visited with her later, the neighbor, and she said, well, I really wasn't going to pick up the child. She said, some mothers are pretty picky. But she said she just kept insisting, and so I picked it up. And she said she was picked up the child, and while she had picked up the child and was distracted with it, the mother was tearing checks. She left all of her bills out on the table, and she was tearing checks out of her checkbook and stuffing it in her pocket. And she went out, and she wrote those checks to someone else, forged this lady's name. And believe it or not, she even took and wrote some of the checks to herself, put her own name on there, forged this lady's name and cashed them. And you think, how foolish is that? I want to tell you, dear ones, the devil is very cruel. And he'll get people to do things that you think, why in the world would somebody do something like that? Well, it didn't take very long to catch up with her. And in just a little while, the lady next door began to find out something was wrong. And so she went down there to the bank and she started looking and she said, that's not my signature. She never signed. She had like her middle name and all on her check and she never signed it the way that was. And she said, that's mine, not mine. I don't know who these people are that she wrote it to. And she kept looking through those checks. And then she said, well, that's that girl next door. And it became obvious. It was so obvious that it happened. Well, it didn't take long and they caught up with her. And apparently that the reason that girl left that night was not from her mother, but she had got wind, I guess, and was trying to run. Here this child was. It was just days old. And I just, the man, he told me, he said, well, he said, all I could do the first couple of days is sit there and just cry. He was devastated. He didn't know what was going on. And he said, I just, all I could do is sit there and cry. He went to the neighbors trying to apologize. Of course, they didn't know what he's involved, and they didn't want him to do, didn't want any part of him, and no, don't come around. And he felt so alone and felt his mom lived in Oklahoma City. He had no family really here. An elderly aunt lived somewhere not too far from here. And he was devastated. He couldn't go to work. He had a newborn baby there. And it was just, and I looked at that, I thought, you know, dear ones, that's what sin is doing. Sin is taking a terrible toll. And I know this is one story. Brother James probably could tell you dozens and dozens of them from people in the jail. It's just, it's happening over and over and over. Because sin is costing. The wages of sin is very high. But dear ones, I want you to know tonight, it doesn't have to be that way. It does not have, God never intended for young couples to go through those kind of things. I thought about that child. I don't know where it's at today. They had to end up moving to, the reason he broke the lease, he had to move to Oklahoma City, give up his job. Everything that he was so excited about, it just all come crashing down. He told the lady, the girl, he said, I'm getting full custody of the child. We're moving to Oklahoma City so that my mom can help me take care of it, and you are not welcome. Do you know, I can just imagine the hurt and the frustration that turned to bitterness. Hey, you know, just, oh, why did she do this? Everything was going well. Don't you know, dear ones, there's lots of people that are out there that are that way. And I thought about that child. Can you imagine what it's growing up now? The father had to go there so he could work either night shift or his mother worked night shift and him day so they could swap off and one come and go. Can you imagine that child growing up and hear all this and it's putting such a strain on them? Don't you know the child was going to feel? The devil intended all of that, dear ones. He's not just content to destroy that young girl and that family, but he wanted to destroy everyone that he could. And it spread, and he wants that child to grow up and it just and continue and all this bitterness and all those things. That's his whole purpose. But it doesn't have to be that way. God never intended that in the beginning. But it's because of the choices that people have made. It's because of sin. But I think about this song here, and it says, securely from sin hid away. His anchor, the promise of God's written word to keep him by night and by day. Dear ones, God has a place for you and I that we can dwell in safety. It was a place that that Satan couldn't touch Job. All he could do with Job was look at him, watch him, and accuse him. Albeit falsely is all he could do. But he couldn't touch him. When you look at this, let's look at this scripture here. It says in the 8th verse, look at what the Lord said. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil? It's like the Lord was asking Satan, have you been watching my servant? Have you considered him? Have you watched him? Well, it's apparent that he had, hasn't he? Because if you look at the 6th verse, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came and to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, every time that you and I come before the Lord, Satan is going to come also. When we come here together like this tonight, and we come before the Lord to worship Him, you might as well count on it. Satan's going to come also. Sometimes I can almost just visualize the enemy coming right into our midst and walking down these aisles and walking around. You know, we talked Wednesday night about the Lord and how the angels and said that where two or three are gathered together, there I'll be in the midst. And how the angels are always about His children. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's not just the Lord that's around about us. The devil is there too. And when you and I come together like this, the enemy will come and he'll walk up and down these aisles. And I can just almost see him watching. He's watching and he's looking. And if he sees one person, if he sees one soul that begins to push off, when the word goes forth or a testimony or whatever it is that the Lord is sending, if the enemy's always watching us. And if he can see us draw back just a little bit, don't you know, dear ones, it's just like a radar to him, and he'll be right there. And he'll be sitting there whispering in your ear, and he'll talk to you. He'll be there if the message, and you're someplace, whether here or wherever, and the message is going forth, and the Lord is blessing, and the, something from self begins to draw back, the enemy will recognize that, and he'll be right there, and he'll present thoughts. He'll begin to bring things to try to distract your attention. He'll come right up and down these aisles to do anything he can to distract you and I from getting what God has. When you and I come before the Lord in our private devotions, He'll come there also. He'll get right down there when you get ready to pray. The enemy will be there whispering in your ear and bringing thoughts and things to try to draw your mind and your attention away. And you're sitting there. You know what I'm talking about. You get down to pray and you're like, next thing you know, you're praying about something and your mind just is off over here. And you're like, Lord, I was praying and what happened? And you try to focus it down. You see what I'm saying? The enemy, every time, dear ones, just like he did with here, every time that we come before the Lord, the enemy's going to come also. And he's going to present himself. He's going to try to take and hinder us from being able to get what the Lord has for us. Well, the Lord asked him, he said, have you been watching my servant Job? He said, he's perfect, isn't he? He's upright. He hates sin, but he loves me. I'm just putting that in my own words. Satan, well, you look at what Satan said here in this ninth verse. And he said, then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Basically what Satan was saying, the only reason that Job is doing so well and he is prospering is because you put this hedge around about him. You put this hedge around him and I can't touch him. But if you lift that hedge and let me touch him, he'll curse you to your face. Now, why would Satan say that? Why would he say if you do that, he'll curse you? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's because that every time sin touches a person's life, it brings heartache. It brings disappointment. It brings bitterness. And when sin is finished, it will bring bitterness and hatred and envy and strife and all of those kind of things. Sin, when it touches a person's life, you look at this. You look at what happened when Satan was able to touch the things. In this 12th verse, the Lord said unto Satan, he said, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself, put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And when you go down through there from that and you begin to look at this, dear ones, you begin to see what happens when sin touches something. It brought heartache. It brought disappointment. It brought destruction. When you look at what happens here, sin has a terrible effect. And that's exactly what happened here. When Satan was looking at this, he said, if you just lift that hedge, if you just lift that hedge and touch him, he said he'll curse you to his face. Do you know, dear ones, it was very obvious that Satan couldn't touch him. Because he would have if he could have. And that's what gives me such comfort and encouragement from the enemy's statement. Because it shows me that God had a place for one of his children that Satan could not touch him. God had put a hedge around about one of his children, about all that he had, and Satan could not touch them. And dear ones, that encourages me because it tells me that God still has that place for you and I tonight. There is a place. The scripture says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And dear ones, that tells me that God still has this kind of place for you and I today. When I look at the heads that the Lord has for us, I'm thankful, dear ones. I am very thankful. I'm going to tell you, as I laid there through all that sickness, I was very thankful for the Lord's hedge. There were times that the enemy came in very, very strong. But I'm thankful, dear ones, that the Lord has a hedge of protection around us. If you go on and you look at these verses, I want to read this. It says, how firm a foundation upon which he builds a structure to glorify God. How wondrous the power of the Savior that shields from all the vile tempter's dark floods. A wall of salvation upon every side, strong bulwarks presents to the foe. And in every conflict, though sorely he's tried, face shield will ward off every blow. When you look at this, I find here that the Lord has given us a place of protection where when the enemy comes in to try to overwhelm us, and dear ones, I'm going to tell you the enemy will come in to overwhelm you and I. But when I find that when the enemy comes in and tries to overwhelm us, to just overflow us, if you will, to try to sweep us off our feet, that it reminds me of the scripture there in Isaiah, I believe it's the 59th chapter in the 19th verse, maybe I may have that wrong, but it said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Dear ones, the Lord will lift up a standard of truth that all the powers of hell cannot break down. It's something that has never failed. It's something that will always stand true. And as long as you and I stand behind this beacon of truth, dear ones, all the powers of hell cannot overflow us and cannot just sweep us off our feet. I look at this. I think about this third verse here. It said, a wall of salvation upon every side, strong bulwarks presents to the foe. And in every conflict, though sorely he's tried, faith's shield will ward off every blow. Think about what Satan said. He said, hast thou not built a hedge about him? Hast thou not built a hedge about him? Dear ones, there is a place that the Lord has built and designed for you and I that is a secure retreat. And Satan said, have you not built this hedge around about him? He couldn't even touch anything that Job had as long as God had that hedge about him. Dear ones, you know what that means? Satan can't even touch our dog as long as God's got his hedge around us. Now you might say, wait a minute, that's a dog. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when God has his hedge about us and about all that we have, Satan can't touch anything that we have unless God lifts that hedge. Now, Lord, help us never to underestimate the power of God to keep his children. Lord, help us never to take and get to the place where we begin to be fearful of what God can do. This fourth verse says, he trusts in the Lord and obeys his commands. God giveth him grace from on high to count all things joyful while boldly he stands, and Jesus, his helper, is nigh. When I read this verse, when the Lord began to talk to me about this, I thought about Peter. Peter trusted in the Lord and he obeyed his command. And God gave him strength and power to do something that Peter couldn't do. When God told Peter, he said, come ahead. And Peter stepped out of that boat. What do you walk on? Water. Dear ones, that's something that Peter couldn't do. And it's something that you and I can't do either. But he obeyed his command. He trusted and obeyed his command. And God endued him with power and grace to be able to do something that Peter couldn't do. And I want us to get a hold of this evening. And I know these are very familiar scriptures and thoughts. But dear ones, God will do the same thing for you and I. If we will obey, if we'll trust and obey God, he will enable us to do things that you and I cannot do. You might think, well, I just could never do that. The enemy will present things to you and I, and you say, that's too hard. I can't do that. I couldn't go through that. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we can't. We can't do it. But if we'll trust and obey God step by step in our life, God will give us the grace and power to do things that you and I can never do. I'm going to tell you, there was a time I would have told you very emphatically, I could never stand up here like this before you. I as a young child and growing up, even into a teenager and a young adult, I could never stand before people and talk. I'd draw a blank. Well, now sometimes people probably wish I would draw a little bit of blank. I know, because it's like I told somebody, I've never known to be short-winded. Well, Lord help us. When the Lord began to deal with me, I thought, Lord, you know me. Yes, He does. You know me. I can't do this. I just can't do it. And I struggled with the Lord with that. But you know, the Lord, when He begins to work, He'll give you grace and power. Sometimes He'll give it to you so much that you can do more than you ever thought you could. Well, Lord, help us. If you and I will just trust and obey. This is what I want us to get. He said, trust and obey His commands. Peter did that, and God gave him strength and power to do what He commanded. Dear ones, when God asks us to do something, He will always give us the grace, the courage, the strength, the wisdom. You say, oh, I don't even know anything. Well, you don't have to. All you have to do is know God. When He is in us and His Word. And I remember as I was laying there, I was thinking one day, I was praying, I was asking the Lord. And I was like, Lord, I need more of You. I need more of Your Word. And the thought just came to me, all you need is Christ. He is the Word. And when Christ is in us, dear ones, He'll give us, just like I was sharing with you Wednesday night, and how the Lord worked, and it's been such a blessing to me, and He's done it many times, but just this last week or whenever, and the Lord took, and He did that. Those of you who weren't here, I was telling them Wednesday night how that I was in worship one morning before I went to work, and just this last week, and I'd been reading and I've been studying over in another part of the Bible in the epistles of John. And so I turned over there, but before I could get to studying it, the Lord just dropped some thoughts into my heart, and I began to think upon them and meditate upon them, and the Lord just blessed them to me. And I thought, well, I don't know, this is not what I was studying. And I thought, well, I'll write it down. This is how the Lord does a lot of times with the message. And I thought, maybe He's going to have this sometime. And I wrote the thoughts down, and I just left it in my Bible. And I went to work a few days later. No, it was that same day, actually. I went to work, and my boss came in, and he was talking to me, and he closed the door, and he said, I want to ask you about a scripture I read this morning. And he was troubled about it. And you know, the Lord gave the very things that the Lord gave me that morning was exactly what I shared with him. And as I began to share that with him, and I thought, Lord, You knew exactly what was going to happen. Dear ones, that's all we have to have is God. When we have the Lord can prepare us. There's no way I could have possibly known what would have happened that day. I could have tried to study and search through the Scripture, but dear ones, I could have never known. But God knew. And dear ones, what we need is to be in that place that the Lord has for us. It's not only a shield of protection, but dear ones, it's a place where the Lord can feed our souls and He can give us just what we need. Well, with Peter, he obeyed His commands, and the Lord gave him grace. But you know what happened to Peter? He began to look around, didn't he, at the circumstances. And when he did, when the wind blew and the waves began to toss, and he began to look at those things, what did he do? The power that God gave him, his power didn't diminish, but his faith in that began to weaken, didn't it? And he began to sink. But this is what I want us to get a hold of, dear ones. When Peter began to sink, this last part of this verse says, and Jesus, his helper, was nigh. I want you to know, dear ones, that if we get into a place and we begin to get our eyes off the Lord and we begin to look at the circumstances, we begin to look at the things that we're experiencing and the things that the enemy is presenting to us, and our faith gets weak, and you begin to feel overwhelmed by all the cares of life or the things, that trials that's coming your way, you begin to get a little discouraged, remember, and Jesus, his helper, was nigh. Dear ones, Jesus was there, and what did he do? He reached down, and he lifted him up, and he put him in the boat. This is what we Dear ones, when we give our hearts and lives to the Lord, even when you get to the place where your faith gets weak, don't ever, ever give up on God. Cry out. Cry out to the Lord. I told someone recently, I said, when you get into a situation and you just don't know and you're trying to do something and you want to do it, but you just seem like you just can't, be honest with God. Don't hide it. Don't just say, well, I just can't do that and draw back. But just come before the Lord and be honest with Him and talk to Him. Just open, Lord, You know what I want to do. You know my heart, but Lord, You see where I'm struggling. My faith is weak. The fears, the doubts, the things that are coming, the temptation, whatever it is that you're struggling with, just be honest with God and say, Lord, You know these things. And we'll tell you, dear ones, God will answer. When you cry out to the Lord, He'll answer. I thought about the man when he was there and he said, Lord, if Thou canst do anything, heal my child. And He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Well, what did the man say? Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He recognized, Lord, I believe, but there's things that have happened. This child's been this way all of its life. And there's just things. I'm just having a hard time. Dear ones, when you get in a situation and the trial and the things are coming, the enemy's bombarding you, and it just seems like he's just overwhelming, just tell the Lord. Say, Lord, You know my heart. Lord, I want to do what You want me to do. But Lord, You see what I'm struggling with. And as You do, it's the same thing that Peter did. He said, Lord, and he cried out. And I can assure you, dear ones, God's not going to step back and say, well, you ain't got no faith. He's going to do the same thing He did for Peter. He's going to reach down and He's going to lift you up. He's going to do the same thing that He did for that man, and He healed that child. The Lord knows our frame. And dear ones, Lord, help us this evening to get a hold of this. There's a place. There's a place of protection. God loves every one of us, and He has designed a place that you and I can dwell in safety with the Lord. I want to look now at this 10th verse. It said again here, Satan asked Job, he said, hast thou not made an hedge about him and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. I want to remind us a little bit here about why God built this hedge about Job. When you look at this, God didn't just put this hedge, just go out there randomly and put this hedge around somebody out in the world. God put this hedge around one of his children. And if you look in this first verse of this first chapter, and it said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and the man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Dear ones, Job was a man that had a deep love and a reverence for God. He was very, very careful about how he conducted himself. This word, it says he eschewed evil. That means, I've written in my Bible, I looked it up from Webster, shun, avoid. Job was a man that shunned evil. He avoided it at all costs. He was so careful in his life that even when his children got together, as you go down through this chapter, and they would have their feasts or their parties, Job would take the very next day and he would take and offer sacrifices for all of his children. You say, well, now, why did he do that? That wasn't Job's cause. Job, if they did something wrong, that's them. It wasn't going to be held against Job. But Job was a man that feared God. He reverenced God. He had a deep love for God. And he prayed earnestly to God for his family. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there was a reason why that God had this shield not only around about Job, but about everything that he had. It's because Job was a praying man and he loved God and he prayed for his children. Now, there comes a time that God, that shield was about them, but God lifted that shield and let everything else be touched. But he said, you can't touch Job here. But there was a reason why there was a shield about everything else. I don't know what all happened in those feasts and what all happened in those parties, but dear ones, there was something There were things that happened, but God protected them because of Job's love for God. I look at this, and dear ones, there's a reason why God did that. It's because of His carefulness. And if you and I want this kind of shield, this kind of hedge about us, we're going to have that same carefulness. We're going to have to be very, very careful in our individual lives. We're going to have to shun. We're going to have to avoid. We're going to have to eschew evil, just like Job did. We're going to have such a carefulness in our lives. Lord, I don't want anything. I don't want anything that would bring Your displeasure upon my life. Because, dear ones, that's what's going to bring. That's God's going to bring this place of protection. The enemy, but I'm going to warn you, the enemy's going to do everything he can to get you and I to remove this hedge. To make just a little opening in it. To just lift it just a little bit. Satan is doing everything within his power to convince the people of God to lift that hedge. Because he knows, dear ones, that's the only way that he can touch us. He cannot penetrate this hedge. There's no way that he can do it. The only way that he can touch us is if you or I or God lifts that hedge. Satan cannot do it. And that's the only way that hedge, when the Lord puts that around us, the only thing that can remove that hedge, other than God, is you and I. If this is me, there's nothing else but me that can raise this. If it's you, you're the only one that can lift that hedge. Nothing else can do that other than God. Satan knows that, and that's why he tries so hard. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's the reason that we have to be very careful in our individual lives. Yes. Satan wants us to do that. But I'm going to tell you, if we lift that hedge, if we let down that banner of truth, if we lower it just a little bit, that's all that it takes for the enemy. If he can take and get you and I to just lift that hedge just a little bit, it only takes one dart. If he can get one dart in you and I, if he can touch us with sin, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it will have a profound effect. It's not long before, and you'll find this so many times happening, when the enemy begins to convince somebody, just lift that hedge just a little bit. Just lift it just a little bit. And all he's got to do is one thing. When we do that, it exposes us to the full force and power of the enemy. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's a force that we cannot withstand. And when it takes one dart, gets into us, the hurt, the pain, whatever it is that he uses, when we get that and he begins to work with us and that poison of sin begins to touch our lives, you know what happens? It's not very long at all before you find, when that happens, this hedge begins to feel so, confining. When the enemy begins to touch us with sin, you will begin to find that the hedge that the Lord has put around us, instead of it being His loving arms of protection and a place of security, you'll begin to find it feeling like it's enclosing you. It's something that's just crimping you. And you'll find the desire is, this thing is so, it just seems like it's closing in on me, and I want it out. Because that's exactly what happens. Sin will cause us to be discontent with the things that God has. And when we do that, we'll find ourselves throwing off that hedge and fully exposing ourselves to the enemy. And when that happens, dear ones, we cannot stand against the powers of the enemy. It's a power that will destroy us. And you begin to see the effects of that, just like what happened with what I told you about this young couple and all the other things that are happening. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't have to be that way. God has a place. He has a place designed for you and I of protection that all the powers of hell cannot touch us. Now I'm going to tell you, I said there's no one that can lift that hedge but you or I. If it's me or if it's you, nothing else. I can't lift it for you. I can't cause you to sin. You have to do that. That's something that I have to do myself. And when I do that, I lift that hedge. Because I can't be in that place and the Lord's arms can't be about me
and holding me and shielding me as long as sin is in my life. But I'll tell you, dear ones, I said the other thing, this is what I mentioned before closing. The only other one that can lift that hedge is God. And you've seen what he did with Job.
God can take and he can lift that hedge from about us. But there's one thing, dear ones, that we can always be comfortable with. And that is, God will never, he will never lift the hedge unless it's for our welfare. He didn't do it to allow Job to be lost. He didn't do it to allow the enemy to destroy him. And he will not do it for you and I. God will never lift the hedge and allow the enemy to come against us with anything. Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying. He will never let Satan touch us with sin. But the Lord will allow things to happen. And he'll raise that hedge and he'll allow, just like he did here sometimes. But it's only if it's for good. Our good, the good of souls, or the good of his kingdom. And most of the time I found it's for all three. The Lord will always do something. It's always for our good. And it's generally good for souls and it's good for the kingdom. So I hope you understand the thoughts of my heart. But I want to encourage us. Dear ones, the devil tries so hard to make you and I feel like sin is going to overwhelm us. There's things that he presents our way and fears and doubts and all. And you see things that are happening that just seem like the devil, he just wants you to think that he can triumph over all these things. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it doesn't have to be that way. There is a place that God has designed for you and I. A place of protection where his shield of love is round about us. And when we ever get into a place, if there's anyone that ever gets into a place to where they feel overwhelmed and discouraged and all the things and they're sinking, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, all we have to do, like I said earlier, is cry out to the Lord. And he'll take those loving arms and put them about us. And it's a shield of protection that Satan cannot touch. He cannot penetrate and he cannot destroy us. I appreciate that. I have found it to be true in my life. I found that the Lord has been very faithful. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I won't tonight, but there's some things that happened during this. The enemy came very, very hard. But I want to tell you, dear ones, the Lord was there. And he kept me. There was a shield of protection that the Lord kept me through this. And I'm very, very grateful for that tonight. But I'm going to tell you, it's reminded me of how important it is for you and I that we not lift that shield. That we not do anything to let down the standard of truth. Because that's a barrier. That's a hedge that the Lord has built about us. And I thank the Lord for it tonight. Appreciate your attention.